Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining us. Today we are talking about making your life count. You know, we know that life is short and it can end in a moment. But the Bible says in James 4:14 that life is but a vapor.
That is so true, Bill, especially right now while living in the very last of the last days. I mean, we can see the birth pains continue to, you know, intensify, and so much is going on, so much turmoil and ungodliness and lawlessness in this world.
That's right. There's no security
in anything but Jesus.
That's right. You know, more than ever, we need to fight distraction and avoid worldly pursuits that will take us out of God's plan for our life.
That's so true.
You know, but listen to these verses. Isaiah 64:6 says, "We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." And Psalms 37:2 says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb."
And also Psalm 102:3 states, "For my days are consumed like smoke." Boy, that is short.
That's right.
And 1 Peter 1:24 says, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away." You know, we're all human and human beings, and we will fade away quickly in light of eternity.
That's right.
You know, but our spirit and our soul last forever. Jesus said that we are eternal beings and we are made in the image of God. But there are only two destinations after we die, heaven or hell.
That's right.
And so this life is short, Bill, right? If we live 90 or 100 years.
Very short. You know, I want to share one part of the vision God gave me that I wrote about in my book, 23 Minutes in Hell. You know, when I was traveling back from hell with the Lord, God showed me a vapor of smoke. I said, "Lord, what's that?" And he said, "That's your life." I said, "That's it?" It was over, and just like a tea kettle, a little puff of smoke went up. And he said, "Yes, but what you do for me during that short time, I will count for all eternity." Now that gave me a better overall eternal perspective on what's really important in life. You know, not to pursue the things that that people pursue here in life. It's just to go after eternal things.
That's good. No, yeah. That's so true.
You know, we should keep in mind that if we live only for the here and now, you know, it'll end. But if we live for God, it will last forever.
I know, Bill. And making your life count, you know, it's not what people think it is. I mean, the world says it's, you know, how much money you make. Did you succeed in your career? Did you gain fame or power or influence? But those are not the things God is going to reward us for. I mean, making your life count is really about being faithful and obeying God. And I just want to segue a little bit because I'm your wife and I'm allowed.
Okay.
And, you know, we've been married now almost 24 years. But, you know, something I've observed about you, you know, is your faithfulness and your godliness before you had this vision of hell. You know, of course, after as well. But, you know, when we were dating, I mean, I watched you in business, how you looked out for people, how you would keep your word to your own hurt. You would forfeit commissions and to help a buyer get in. You, even when people would steal your commissions and slander you, you forgave them and you forgave people over and over, and you just would go out of your way, and you were always faithful and a faithful witness to God. And I think people don't understand that we can be faithful right where we're at. I mean, to our neighbor, in our job. I mean, we're not all called to a pulpit ministry, and that doesn't matter. We want to be faithful where God's planted us, right?
That's right.
And helping in our church and so forth.
That's right. We just need to be an example to people because that speaks volumes. You know, people do observe us. And, you know, do we show up on time for work? Do we keep our word to our own hurt? Do we forgive those that are ugly to us and mean to us? And do we, you know, look out for the for our neighbor and so forth? People will observe that in us. You know, we don't even have to witness, but they'll see, are we living godly?
That's really good. You know, we all need to keep that in mind as Christians. And also, we can earn rewards for our eternal life.
That's right.
And Jesus mentioned rewards many times. And so they are valuable, and we should value what he values. And of course, one way we do have rewards is by sharing with others the way of salvation, Jesus Christ. And I like the scripture in John 4, 35 and 36. It's Jesus speaking, and he said, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he and who sows, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together."
That's right. So and here's the result. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, "For what is it we live for that gives us hope and joy, and is our proud reward and crown? It is you. Yes, you will be bring us much joy as we stand together before our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back again, for you are our trophy and joy." So it's again, it's people witnessing, and you bring people to heaven with you.
And we all have a part, right? We can't do this alone. You know, in the Believer's Bible Commentary says on page 2029, it says, "He had pointed them to Christ. They were his hope of reward at the judgment seat of Christ." So this is speaking about 1 Thessalonians 2:19.
Right.
His reward was spiritual sons and daughters.
That's right. See, the only thing you can take to heaven with you is people.
Exactly.
But each one of us is necessary to win a soul. You know, we may plant the seed, and another may lead them to Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, "Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." You know, and then Matthew 9:37 says, "For the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." So are we willing to be a laborer?
Oh, I love that verse, you know. And also, you know, a lot of us, and including you and I, we have family members who still haven't come into the kingdom.
Right.
You know, haven't received Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things we do pray when we pray for them, that the Lord would send laborers to them that they will respect and receive from. Because a lot of times it's difficult for a family member to witness or share Christ with a family member.
Right.
You know, I think sometimes my older brother thinks, "Oh, there's that crazy Annette, that holy roller sister of mine," you know, but I only try to say things gingerly, you know, where I feel like the Lord has put that opportunity. So continuing to pray for them and love them is huge. But
And praying that God will send others across their path that they would respect and listen to. It's difficult for them to hear family, but a stranger, sometimes they'll hear a lot better.
Yes, someone who they look up to or is their peer, you know. That's right. So true.
And we can pray and fast for them also.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do need to do that and pray regularly. And then also, you know, take authority and break that power of darkness and deception over their minds in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Because his name has all authority. And we can pray that and pray scriptures like Ezekiel 36:26, that the Lord would take out that stubborn, stony heart and give them a heart of flesh that is tender and responsive to him. All those things, we can stand on his word and pray those for our loved ones. And they will come into the kingdom. Some might not until their deathbed. Hopefully they'll come in before the tribulation. But, you know, come in if we're faithful to pray.
That's good. That's good.
You know, and Jesus told us in Matthew 6:20 to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. And here are some of those ways. For example, Psalms 19:11 says, "And in keeping of the commandments, there is great reward."
That's right.
So obedience. Matthew 5:11-12, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven."
That's right.
That's a neat verse. Great when is your reward when you're persecuted.
That's right. And two more verses here. Matthew 6:1-4 says, Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly."
And just one more verse. I love that, Bill.
Right.
Luke 14:13-14. says, "But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just."
That's good.
You know, the world, a lot of times, like, I'll scratch your back, yeah, and you scratch mine. But here, you know, it's just you're helping people that you know they're not going to maybe be able to repay you or help you
right
back.
Yeah, the poor, they can't. And you're feeding them. You're helping them.
Exactly. And I know you go into detail about rewards in your book, What Happens When I Die, which is really a great chapter on that.
Yes.
But we just wanted to touch on that today.
That's right. You know, the main reason to share with others is because there is an eternal hell. And if we grasp how horrible hell really is, it motivates us to warn others. You know, and it's clear that when it comes to spiritual matters, it doesn't matter how high your IQ is, doesn't matter how much money, fame, or authority you have, or if you are deemed successful by the world standard. You know, you could be a billionaire headed for hell.
So true. You know, if we want to know God and spend our eternity in heaven, we must believe that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. We must choose to turn from our sin, ask His forgiveness, and receive Him as our Lord and Savior. Because all of us will face Jesus Christ after we die, but it will be too late to believe in Him then.
That's right. You know, when we are young, we think life will go on forever. But when we get older, we understand how fast life goes by. Life really is but a vapor, especially compared to eternity. So, you know, I urge you to make an informed decision about the afterlife while you have the opportunity. Make your life count and live for God. Don't waste another day. He will write down in a book all you do for Him, and your reward will be eternal.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.